Okay, we're going to start. Today's daf is daf mem. We're going to start at Lamed Tet Amud Bet at the bottom at the Mishnah. Hashochet l'shem harim, l'shem gevaot, l'shem yamim, l'shem neharot, l'shem midbarot. We're continuing along the lines of somebody who shechs with the intent for it to be for avodah zarah purposes. So here he does it in the name of a mountain, a hill, the waters, the body of water, the desert. Shchitato psula. Okay, that's considered like avodah zarah. But we're going to see, it's not exactly like Avodah Zarah, because if it wasn't exactly like Avodah Zarah, then not only would Shechita be Psula, but it would also be Asur B'Hana'a. We always call it Tikrovet. Avodah Zarah is Asur B'Hana'a, so the Gemara is going to get into this. Why is it not Asur B'Hana'a? Shnaim Ochazim B'Sakin, okay, not Shnaim Ochazim B'Talit this time, but two people holding a knife. A little more dangerous than the two people holding the talit.
They were pretty bad.
Vishochatin. Okay, there's a debate whether this is one sakin or two sakinim, although even the ones who say it's one or two each agrees in both cases that it would be the same thing. Two people are holding a knife. Vishochatin. Echad l'shem echad mikol elu. Ve'echad l'shem davar kasher. Okay, one has intent that it be l'shem gva'ot yamim naharot. And the other has intent that it be for the riper, right? Just for regular slaughter. Shchitato psula. Okay, since one person had the intent for avodah zarah, that's enough to pasul it. Okay, the Gemara is going to start off and say, based on the first line of the Mishnah, it says psula in zivchei meitim lo. That's what we learned about it being asur b'hana'a. Because if you remember, this was from Baal Peor. They called it zivchei meitim. Meitim are asur b'hana'a. So they said, this is also asur b'hana'a, just like a mate. It's forbidden to get benefit from. Also tikrovet avodah zarah. But this seems to imply it's not asur b'hana'a, like the din of regular avodah zarah. So raminhi, this seems to contradict another source, which says, hashochet l'shum harim, l'shum gva'ot, l'shum neharot, l'shum midbarot, l'shum chama u'levana, l'shum kochavim u'mazalot. Okay, this is basically the same list, just adds a few more. L'shum Michael hasar hagadol, l'shum shulshul katan. Okay, that means shulshul is not what we think. It's a tolaat. Okay, Rashi says it's a type of worm. Harei elu zivchei metim. Here it says, these are all forbidden b'hana'a.
Sounds for a little worm.
Right, even a little worm, right? Even if it's something so little, but since it has avodah zarah, it sounds like avodah zarah. So if you do any of these, we're going to say it's zivchei metim. So here we have art. Now, it said l'shum instead of l'shem. It sounds kind of the same. Okay, it added a bunch more things. So how do we resolve this? Amar Abaye lo kashya. Hada amar lahar. Hada amar ligada dehar. Our Mishnah is talking about when he actually said, I'm doing it to the mountain. Now, if you remember, what did we already learn about mountains? It's talked about you have to break all the idols that they worshipped al haharim, right? Elohim al haharim, below haharim Elohim. The har itself is not a god. So if you say, I'm doing it to the har, that's not actually to the god himself. And therefore, it's this in between. It's not a sur b'hana'a, but we're still going to forbid it, the shechita, okay? Because you did have intent for avodah zarah. But the second braita, which said it's asur b'hana'a, is talking about, you said to the gada of the har. There's a few different explanations, but Rashi says it's l'malach ha'mimuneh al harim. Then you're already referring to a person who, or a figure who's in charge of the har. That's already avodah zarah, okay? And then it's going to be asur b'hana'a. And how did they further prove this? Daikanami dekatane, even though they added, and we said, it's really just the same thing, but they added a few more things. But look at what they added. One of the things they added was, Dumia de Michael Sar Hagadol. In other words, there they gave an example of an angel that you kind of said, this is, kind of a avodah zarah worship. So since they talked about angels there, we could say this is also like the angel of the mountain, Shema Mina. Okay. Amarav. You should only know that there's some other ways to understand this Mishnah, that the Mishnah isn't actually talking about that you had the intent for it to be for avodah zarah, okay, like to worship the har, okay, but that the idea was that it's, I think it's the Rambam, let me just see if I see here, but that the issue was that you were doing it for refuah purposes. You were worshiping the har so the har would cure you. something like that. It's not exactly avodah zara, but it's for refuah. And then there's a whole different way of understanding the sugya according to that, but we'll leave that aside. Amar Rav Huna. Haita, we're now going to deal a lot with the statement of Rav Huna. Haita behemat chavero rivutza lifnei avodah kochavim. So your friends, and now we're going to get into property issues. Can I forbid my friend's item? Okay? So your friend's item was rivutza lifnei avodah kochavim. It was ready to be, right? It was kind of crouching down, bowing down to the avodah kochavim. Kevan sheshachapa siman achad asara. Okay, in order for it to be a tikrovet lavodah zara, that it's forbidden bahana'a, an animal itself is not forbidden until you do an act like slaughtering it. So slaughtering the animal would say, this is for avodah zara. So now, if it was your own animal, so you'd slaughter it and it would be forbidden for avodah zara. But since it's someone else's animal that was bowing down toward the avodah zara and you came and slaughtered it, do you make it forbidden because it's not your animal to actually forbid? So Rav Huna says, if the behemah chaviro was revutza lifnei avodah kochavim, kevan sheshachap asiman achad asara. As soon as you slaughter even one siman, you didn't even finish the slaughter, at that point it's already designated for avodah zara, it's tikrovet avodah zara, and it's forbidden. Now, they say, Savrala, he holds, ki hada amar ula, like Ula said, amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, af al pi sh'amru ha-mishtachaveh le-be'emat chaveiro lo asara, asaba ma'aseh asara. Even though they say one who bows to his friend's animal doesn't forbid the animal, basically you're turning that animal into an idol, you can't do that, right? Because just bowing is not considered enough to turn something into an idol. But asaba ma'aseh, but if you did some act to it, then you can take your friend's animal and turn it into avodah zara. So by you slaughtering it, you basically created this situation that it's now forbidden. Okay? So there's this big issue, and we're going to get to another opinion later, which is saying that what we see here is, number one, just by worshiping your friend's animal, that doesn't make it avodah zara. But if you slaughter it, l'shem tikrovet avodah zara, or if your friend had intended it for... Then, well, I don't know if your friend, but you take your friend's animal and you slaughter it, l'shem avodah zara, then you basically can make it a tikrovet avodah zara. And here we see even one siman. You don't even have to finish the slaughter. Even one siman will make it forbidden. Okay, even though generally you can take your friends, right? But a maaseh changes that. So now we're going to say, Eitivei Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Rav Nachman's going to ask a question. Hashochet chatap b'shabbat b'chutz lo'avodah kochavim. Okay, here's one of those. You did a lot of things. What did you do? You slaughtered a korban chatat on Shabbat, okay, which is not allowed. Korban chatat is not one of the korbanot you're allowed to do on Shabbat. B'chutz, you did it outside, and you did it for avodah zara purposes. Okay, so you did three things to this animal. You took a chatat, you slaughtered it on Shabbat, you slaughtered it outside, and you slaughtered it for avodah zara. So you can't slaughter it outside, you have to slaughter it inside chatat. You can't slaughter on Shabbat, and you can't slaughter it for avodah zara. You're chayav shalosh chataot. Okay, you did this all by accident, so you're chayav three chataot. Now, what's the problem here? I amart kevan sheshachapa siman achad asara. Now, a chatat, what's the issue about a chatat? We're going to see this later, but a chatat, it's your chatat, but it doesn't really belong to you because you don't eat the chatat meat. Who eats the chatat? The kohen gets it. So it doesn't really belong to you. It really belongs to the kohen. Although that's going to be a little bit of the debate here. Does it really belong to you or not? Right now, we're going to assume it doesn't belong to you. So if it doesn't belong to you, this is a case of what Rav Huna said. You're taking someone else's animal and you're doing it for avodah zara. Now, according to what Rav Huna said, at what point would it be designated for avodah zara? After you did siman echad. Now, if you did siman echad and it's already for avodah zara, then what should not be applicable? Shrutei chutz, because you're no longer taking a korban and slaughtering it outside. Once you've done siman echad, it's for avodah zara. Once it's for avodah zara, it's no longer a korban. So, I amar kevan sheshachap ha siman echad asara, Ashrut echutz lo lemichayev. you shouldn't be machayev mishum shchutei chutz. You're still chayev for slaughtering on Shabbat because you're shechting on Shabbat, but you're not chayev for shchutei chutz because you're machatech ba'afar hu. It's as if you're cutting dust because this is now avodah zarah, and avodah zarah is asur b'hana'ah. It's like nothing. So basically, it's like slaughtering dust when you finish the second siman. So that seems to go against what Rav Huna said. So again, Rav Huna said, Beimat chavero, and one siman, you can forbid it. So now we're going to have to answer, how does Rav Huna explain this? Amara Papa, hacha, the case of the slaughtering here, okay, again, what happened? It said, kevan ha-shochek chata b'shabbat, b'chutz, l'avodat kochavim, chayav shalosh chataot. Okay, so now what are we going to say here? Hacha b'chatat ha'of askinan, dekulu b'hade hadade ka'ate. It must be that it was a chatat ha'of. What's the difference about chatat ha'of? It's the only sacrifice where you only need to cut one siman. So in the cutting of the one siman, which Rav Huna says turns it into avodah zarah, at that same moment, he also finished the slaughter. So he was chayav on shchutei chutz also. And shchutei chutz and avodah zarah, and obviously Shabbat. Okay. So now they say, Michte Rav Huna keman amre l'shmate ke'ula. But wait, didn't we say that Rav Huna said what he said according to Ula? Ve'ula ma'ase kol dehu amar. Ula says any kind of act. Okay, what did Ula say? Afa pishamor ha'mishtachave le'beimat chavero lo asara. Asava ma'ase asara. Now what does he mean by ma'ase? It sounds like any kind of ma'ase. Okay, so if Ula is saying any kind of ma'ase, so now, even before shechting the first siman, it should already have been designated for avodah zarah. Even starting the shechita should have done it, in which case we still have a question. So saying it's chatat ha'of, where it only needs one siman, doesn't really resolve it, because right now we're assuming Ula means even any sort of masa, even though Ula didn't exactly say that explicitly, but he does say, okay, right, he says, we assume any kind of maase. So it doesn't even need to be a full siman, which means we still have this question. So therefore, you can't say it's chatat ha'of. That doesn't resolve it. Ela be'omer was a case where the guy said, Bigmar zvicha hu ovda. He's gonna worship it at the end of Shechita, which means what? Until the Shechita is finished, it's not designated for avodah zarah. So then they say, well, that doesn't make sense either in terms of the case, because what was the case specifically? He slaughters a chatat. Ihachi my iria chatat. What was the whole reason we use chatat? Because chatat is not owned by him, whereas let's say for a shlamim, for example, is owned by the person himself. So now, if he says, Bigmar Zvicha, I'm going to worship it. If it's his own shlamim, what would you assume? The whole issue here is, can you turn someone else's item into a avodah zarah? With his own item, as soon as he'd start the slaughter, it would immediately become a avodah zarah. So we assume that's why it brought chatat and not shlamim, because here it wanted to show, right, that you're only going to be chayav the you're chayav at the same time shchutei chutz and avodah zarah. Forget about Shabbat. That obviously you're going to be chayav. But the issue is the shchutei chutz and the avodah zarah, you'd have to have it where it becomes avodah zarah only at a later stage. The reason why they chose chatat was because a shlamim is going to become avodah zarah immediately as soon as you start slaughtering it. As soon as you start slaughtering it, that immediately calls it a tikrovet avodah zarah, even if you don't finish the slaughter, let's say. In which case, when you finish the slaughter, and that's when the chiyuv kicks in for shchutei chutz, it's already going to be avodah zarah, and you're going to be mechatech ba'afar. So therefore, they're saying, if you say bigmar zvicha hu ovda, then it shouldn't make a difference, chatat or shlamim. Both of them are only going to become tikrovet avodah zarah at the end, which means that everything's going to fall at the same time, which means that they could have used the example of shlamim. So that's what they're going to say here. Yihachi ma'iriyah chatat. Lishmi'inan zevach. They could have said zevach, a regular shlamim. And therefore, it doesn't work. Okay, and therefore that's not a good answer. Ela, amar marzutra mishmeder papa. So now marzutra says in the name of papa. Remember, papa said the first answer. Now he's going to say in the name of papa a different answer. Hacha b'maya skinad. Kegon shaya, we keep going back to this case. Chatzi kane pagum. Okay? Already half of the kaneh was open. V'hosif alav kolshu v'gamro dekulu b'hadeh hadadeh ka'atyan. He goes back to our puppet who says it's chatara of, where you only need one siman. And not only do you only need one siman, what was the problem with that? The problem was, as soon as he started, Ula said, Maaseh Kolshu already turns into a vodazara. So if he starts the shechita, at that point it becomes a vodazara. Therefore, when he finishes the shechita, when he finishes the first siman, he's going to end up with not shechutei chutz anymore. So how do we do it that it works? It was chatara of, where he only needed one siman. It was already chatzi kana pagum, so the beginning of the slaughter was actually the end of the slaughter, because the very first act he did was just a teeny bit, a teeny nit, which got it to rove of the first siman was shechted, and that's a kosher shechita. At that point, what happened? At the same time, he was both doing shechutei chutz, and he was doing avodah zarah. In other words, he turned it into avodah zarah at that moment. If he turns it into avodah zarah earlier, then it's not going to be shechutei chutz. So that's a case where it would work. Okay, so that's our final answer. Now, Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa is now going to go back to the other two answers that we rejected, though. He says, "E lav da Amar Rav Huna siman echad lo havya chata tiyuvta." Okay, now we're going to say like this. He's going back and kind of rewriting history. He's going to say, if Rav Huna hadn't said siman echad, and then we're going to say if Rav Huna hadn't said behemach chaveiro, we wouldn't have had a question about this chata. Because remember, the question of the first two was. Right. The question of the first was, Ula said Maaseh Kol Shehu, and here, Chatara Of needs a full Shechit of one Siman. And the second was, why does it say Chatara, not Shlamim? So now he's going to say like this. If Rav Huna hadn't said Siman Echad, then our question about the Chatat, why it could have been a Shlamim, right? Why did they specifically say Chatat? And therefore we proved that it can't be a case of Be'omer B'gemar Zvicha Hu Avda. Then we wouldn't have had that question. Why? Because my ma'aseh, ma'aseh rabbah. Okay? If he had said, let's explain this. If he had said, not siman echad, Rav Huna, instead of saying, the Be'emach HaVeiro was revutza lefnei avodat kochavim, kevan sheshachapa siman echad asara, but he said, kevan sheshachapa asara, which would sound like two simanim, okay? Then you would say like this. Specifically, this is true for the chatat. Because for a chatat, you need a ma'aseh gadol, because it doesn't belong to you. Whereas if it was your own, it would be enough just to do one siman. Okay? That's what we would say. My ma'aseh, ma'aseh rabbah. In other words, for someone else's, you'd need a big one. And for your own, you would only need a small one. So even if you said, bigmar zvicha, still you could say that in shlamim, right? How would you say it? That if... If it were, one second, if you'd say, his point is that if he wouldn't have said siman echad, then we would have assumed that what did Ula mean? Because remember, Ula wasn't so specific. What did Ula say? Right? He says, kevan asaba ma'aseh asara. So if we said that Rav Huna said, haitabe machaveiro v'rutza tachad lefnei ovedak kochavim kevan sheshachapa asara, and we said, and that's according to Ulu, who says, asaba maaseh, we would have assumed only a maaseh gadol, like two simanim. And then we wouldn't have had a question, obviously only for chatat, but for shlamim, any kind of act would already turn it into a avodah zarah, and that wouldn't apply that they would all three happen at the same time. Okay? Now he's going to say the same type of thing, that if Rav Huna hadn't said this, I lav da amar Rav Huna behemat chaveiro, again, lo havya chatat tiyuvte. If Rav Huna hadn't said his friend's animal, but it was his own animal, again, then we wouldn't have asked from the chatat. Why? My taima, dide matzeh asar, dechavre lo matzeh asar. Again, we would say what? That the case of the chatat in the braita, right, wouldn't be a question because we'd say, haitabe behemat atzmo revutza, kevan sheshachapa siman echad, even a little ma'aseh, makes it a tekrovin avodah zarah, but the case of the chatat, since it's not his own, wouldn't be a question. Remember, in other words, the whole issue here is, let me go through the two things he's saying. We have Rav Huna, and then we have the question on Rav Huna. Right? Rav Huna says, behemat chaveiro, and he says, siman echad. And then we had a koshi on this. And what was the koshi Rav Nachman brought? He said, we have this case of the chatat, hashochet chatat, right, is chayav three things, right? If he shochet b'chatat, b'shabat, b'chut, l'avodat kochavim is chayav. So this wouldn't be a question, number one, if he hadn't said siman echad, and he just said shochet, because then we would say, oh, ha-shochet, right? Then we would say, right, when it comes to his friend's animal, you need a full shechita. When it comes to the chatat, right, you would say, we wouldn't have asked why did the brayta specifically say chatat. Because then we know that specifically said chatat, because chatat, you would need a full shechita. And only at a full shechita do you turn this, we would have understood exactly why it's ha-shochet chatat. Because shochet chatat, then we'd be able to answer it. We'd say, only chatat do you need the full shechita. But shlamim, you would say, would be asur immediately, and that's obvious why specifically this bright is chatat. If you had had where he said siman echad, but he said behemat atzmo and not chavero, again you would say, when it comes to chatat, it only becomes avodah zarah at the end. And this would no longer be a question, because again, the chatat would need the two simanim, and his own korban, like a shlamim, right, his own animal, or equivalent to a korban shlamim, would be enough to do one siman, it would already be a tekrovet avodah zarah, which means then, if you slaughtered it outside, it wouldn't be considered shchut echutz. So all those questions would be resolved if that were the case. So now they say, pshita. Obviously, if it was his own animal, it would be usher immediately, right? It would be immediately avodah zarah. So what are you telling us? So now they're saying, oh no. Ma'u detema kevan dekane lele kapara kedide damya kamashmalan. They're telling it to tell you that you might have thought that a chatat, since it's your own korban, this is where we started. I said, a chatat is really not owned by you because it belongs, the Kohen gets the meat. But on the other hand, it's your korban chatat. So you might have thought that since it's my own korban chatat, it's going to be viewed as if it's my own. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Rav Papa was trying to tell you that specifically it says chatat there because chatat isn't really owned by you. And it's considered like behemat chavero. Okay? And that's what he was really trying to tell you here. So, kevan dekane le kapara kedide dami. You might have thought since he bought it for his own kapara purposes, it's like his own. Kamash velan, that it's not.
Have we seen that in any other context?
I don't think so, but we're going to see it now. We're going to see there's a bit of a debate about it. It's not so clear cut. Okay? So that was all Rav Huna. Okay? We started with Rav Huna, who said, like Ula said, even though you say, you can forbid someone else's animal, you can make it a tekrovet avodah kochavim, right? Not by worshipping it, that's not enough. We did see that issue, if you remember. Worshipping it is not sufficient, but slaughtering it, right, would be sufficient. And we explain that it sounds like even a maaseh kol shehu that you do, according to Ula, is enough to turn it into a tekrovet avodah zarah. Rav Nachman v'Rav Amram v'Rav Yitzchak Amre, ein adam oser davar she'eino shelo. Okay, he says you cannot forbid someone else's item. Okay, now, what does this mean? So, the question is, according to this, it sounds like if you slaughter someone's animal for avodah zarah, it doesn't hold. And so what does that mean? Is it not asr bahana'ah? Okay, meaning it's mutar bahana'ah, but maybe your shechita is not a good shechita and you can't eat it. Okay, because your shechita was l'shem avodah zarah. Or the Rashba says it's entirely mutar. You shechted it. It was kosher shechita. Who cares that you did it for avodah zarah? You did an act of shechita, right? This all has to do with your intent a little bit. You did a kosher shechita to an animal, your purpose was for avodah zarah, but it doesn't really matter because you have no power to take this person's animal and change its status, and therefore, so the Rashba says it's entirely mutar. Some people say, no, it's asur ba'achila ba'mutar ba'hana'a because it's not tikrov at 1 minute. And then there's two opinions within that. The Ran says, well, let's start with the first one. The Ra'a says it's as if you stab the animal, okay? Because you did a shechita for avodah zarah, that's like stabbing it. It's considered like a pasul shechita. The Ran says, it's as if the animal just died on its own, because we view Shechita as nothing. Okay, so it's a matter of, do we view Shechita as apostle Shechita, or do we just view Shechita as nothing, in which case you haven't matured the animal for eating, with in the absence of a proper Shechita.
In either way you haven't, because stabbing, it's not, you can't.
Yes, right. Either way, it's a matter, did you do something active, or do, or you,
but is the,
right, well, it's, no matter what, it's going to be an avela. There's no practical difference between them. It's conceptually. Right. Do we view this as if you did nothing, or do we view this as you did an improper shechita? So, again, both of them will make it forbidden for eating, but for different reasons. What did you want to ask?
It's this intent of the Lord is that I'm having a hard time with, because it seems to me if you're slaughtering something for a Lord is that your intent is not to eat it.
No, but the question is, it's your friend's animal. Maybe your friend wants to eat it.
No, but the point is, you may not use all of it for Vozar. He might just want to sacrifice the liver.
Right, that's also true. Exactly.
And so it's not like they're just burning or giving the whole thing to the other guy.
Right.
Okay.
Now there's a big debate about what he means when he says Ein Adam Oser Davar, or these rabbis, Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak, when they said Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo, do they mean no matter what you do? And as if we understand Ula to mean with a kol shehu, maybe they're saying not with a kol shehu, but with a bigger act only. In other words, we disagree with Ula that it's any little thing, right? Like a chatzi kanek pagum and you do a teeny little bit, right? Or does he mean, right? Do they mean, though, with two simanim, you can forbid it, okay? If you do a full shechita, maybe you can. Or Rashi says, they seem to say it's not forbidden at all, even b'maaseh gadol, okay? Even with two simanim. Now, Rashi says, if you look in Rashi, look at Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo, five lines from the bottom. He says, afilu bigmar maaseh, okay? Even if you totally finish it. Doesn't matter, you can't do it. V'ite mefarshe b'maaseh kol dehu. Some people say it just means you can't be Oser with a small act, but a big act you can. And he says, v'lohi. Can't be based on a question the Gemara is going to ask, which we'll get to tomorrow, about lo havi minasech tiyuvta, dahama aseh gamorhu, ulakama motiv lemi minasech. Tomorrow's after we're going to bring a case of someone who takes someone else's wine and offers it up to Avodah Zarah. Now, you can't forbid someone else's wine by taking someone else's wine and offering it up to Avodah Zarah. Now, isn't that a Gemara maaseh? Says Rashi. So if they think that Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo, then that's not a relevant question. The answer people give to answer that question, those who think that even a Maaseh Kolshu is messing up someone's wine is a different kind of nezek, because it's a different kind of Maaseh, because it's not a Maaseh that's noticeable. And then we get into all these classifications of Maasim. What's considered a Maaseh Gadol? Shechting an animal is more of a Maaseh than offering it up to your God, because you're not actually, you're just, you're not noticing any difference in the wine when you do that. So there's a debate about how to view that. You know, Rashi said, that's a full maaseh. You're menasech. So it's just like shechita, right? Nisuch is equal to shechita, which means when they said Ein Adam, and then it becomes a very big difference. Do these rabbis really think that there's no way to forbid someone else's thing? Or does a maaseh, this, by the way, goes back to Nezikin when we talked about you could be koneh b'shinoi maaseh, or shinoi shem, or shinoi, like there's all different debates there about what makes something yours. So here, you did a maaseh to someone else's animal, that's ownership. This is all out of nezikin, this sugya, right? It's all about when does it become yours to be able to forbid it. Right, yeah, they're referencing Baba Metzia. Okay, so now they're going to bring a question on this, the source we saw before. Meitivei, if ein adam oser davar she'eino shelo, so ha-shochech chatat b'shabat b'chutz l'avodah kochavim chayav shalosh chataot. V'ukimna b'chatat ha'of u'b'chatzi kane pagum. We already said, this bright is talking about a chatat ha'of and chatzi kane pagum. Ta'ama d'chatat ha'of u, d'kulu b'hadei adah d'ka'atyan. Aval zevach lo. Right, but what did we say? Right, something you have to shecht, right, which doesn't all come at the same time, we said it wouldn't be the case, right? Because what would happen? It would become forbidden to Avodah Zarah earlier, before you finish the Shechita. So what does this seem to prove? That even a Maaseh Kol Shehu, can create an Avodah Zarah Chalut. Because again, then what would happen? It would become Avodah Zarah. Once it's Avodah Zarah, you're not going to be Chayav on Shchutei Chutz. And this says you are. V'en Adam Osir Davar She'eno Shelo, my area Chatara Of. Why would you have to say it's Chatara Of then? You could say, Afilu Chatap Behema Nami. Right? You could say, even a Chatap Behema, it would all happen at the same time at the end. Okay? Which seems to indicate also, by the way, against Rashi, that when you finish it, it does become for Avodah Zarah. So what do they say? And here we're going to have the opposite answer that we had before. Kevan de kanyale la kapara kidi de damya. This case has nothing to do with it because this is your own chatat. And since it's your chatat, it's yours. And that's why as soon as you start, you already designate it for Avodah Zarah. It becomes a tikkur of Avodah Zarah as soon as you start the shchita. And that's why they explained it was chatat ha'of and all that, where it's chatzikana pagum and only at the moment you did. But this is the opposite that we said earlier. We said earlier the chatat doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the kohen. Now we're saying the chatat, this approach, right, again, this is Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchak and Rav Amram, they have a different approach, and they say korban chatat they view as belonging to you. And therefore, as soon as you start, you've already designated for Avodah Zarah. Okay, and that's how they explain that brayta. So there's a debate, right, about how to explain it, and tomorrow we're going to get to more questions. And the next one's going to be from our Mishnah about the Shnayim Ochazim B'Sakin, about how it does look like you can forbid someone else's animal.